everybody, and welcome back to Android App Addicts, the show where we talk about Android apps and apparently addicts. Welcome to the 400th show. Glad to have you with us. Glad to be with you. I'm just excited to be here. But I am not the only one here also joining me. Actually, I'm joining them is the better way to say it. Are the trio, the ones who made their way into your heart. Steve, the door-to-door geek, McLaughlin. Steve Cherubino, double Steves. And, of course, Eric Ardini. Hi, guys.
Hey, Mark.
Great to have you all here with us.
Hey, Mark. And welcome to the most honest podcast you're listening to right now.
It's the best. There is not a better podcast you're listening to right now.
And the sound quality of the podcast you're listening to is far superior to anything else you're listening to.
Right now.
Yep.
Is the horse dead yet?
How you doing, Mark?
I think it is. I'm doing great. Glad to be here with you. How are you, my friend?
Decent. Crazy week, but decent. I'm like you. I've been looking a lot at the phones here in the last week, and once in a while, I just got to take a break and step back.
Well, you know, Asus announced a bunch of weird phones this week. I wanted to talk about them a little bit on the show. The idea of a double selfie camera, double cameras all the way across. What does it mean? And giant batteries and huge screens. And I don't get it. What are they? Are they phones? Are they, and there was, what's the other one? The company that introduced the 10 core phone, because why not have 10?
Asus. Yeah, that's the Asus.
Okay, another Asus. All right. So it's all Asus all the time.
Except for Sony, who brought out a 4K phone this week, too.
Because we all want 4K on a 5-inch screen.
Because battery life is just, who needs it when you got 4K to look at?
You know, we finally get a good solid battery. Bigger phones let you put a bigger battery in. So now we're in the 5, 5.5, 6-inch phone range. You can really get something that'll last, you know, all day, 24 hours, even 48 hours. So we got to screw that up by cramming 10 cores and a 4K screen in there just to make sure that you got to run for your charger every couple of hours.
Yeah, that's true. Seems like it. That's right. I'm going to buy one. I'll buy one anyway.
And, Lenovo announced the Yoga Tab 3, which is a 10-inch Android tablet with a Pico Pro projector built in and 4 surround sound speakers.
That's the ultimate camping device.
How surround sound can it be when it's all in front of you?
I don't know. But I will say I was wrong. It's the Acer Predator 6. That's the 10-core, 4-speaker, ridiculous phone.
It's crazy.
I think it's great. I think it's fun. I'm glad they're going out on a limb for us.
Yeah, going all out.
Well, it just goes to show you that the modern smartphone has arrived. There are no more innovations to be made, so we just got to double down on old innovations.
Yeah, put some fishtails on the back of it.
It just means that, yeah, fins, that's right, some fins. That just means the market is ripe for somebody to pull an Apple and do something that nobody's ever seen before. You know, smartphones existed before the iPhone, but Apple introduced something nobody had ever seen before. I don't know that Apple is in a position now to do that again, but who knows? Maybe Asus is.
I hope somebody does. I used to count on Apple to do it, and if they've kind of let me down since the Jobian era has ended.
How are you, since you are on that subject, how's that going with you and your 6 Plus?
I'm not going to lie, to take a take a saying from Dor. I for the first time since I got this phone, I thought about, I wonder what it would like to be like to have an Android again. And I just remember Eric saying on the last episode I was on, 5 months, you're not going to last 2 months with that thing. It's been about, it's been like 2 or 3 months. That being said, that was a fleeting thought, and I'm still really enjoying this phone. It's got some little buggies that are annoying, but so did my Android phone. So it's, you know, they're about the same. They really are about the same to me as far as, just use and everything about them. It's just a piece of hardware.
I was thinking about you this week and your phone. I don't know why. It just popped into my head that you wouldn't get a note because they were too big. And you didn't like how your hand would have to reach all the way across to do stuff. And you got the 6 Plus. How's that working out for your hand? Has it grown? Is it stretching?
I mean, the size is fine. It's fine. I'm used to it. And I've kind of I've kind of resigned myself to the fact that phones are big now, and I will probably get the biggest phone that's out there, no matter if it's Android or Apple, just because I enjoy the screen real estate more than the comfort and usability of the of doing that, having my one hand reach all the way across the screen. Yeah. I'm over it.
Yeah, I'll never have nothing smaller than this Note, never again, unless I go to a dumb phone, get off the grid or something.
Don't do that.
The Note is 5.5 inches?
I think it's 6. I don't know. It's about this big. I'm not sure. I didn't measure it either.
I've been looking at a couple 7-inch phones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 7-inch, that's my tablet.
Right.
Yeah. So I think this is, I think the Note's maybe 6 then.
Well, see, my logic if I can pull off getting a Scotty vest, well, then I can get a 7-inch tablet.
I'm telling you, when the first Galaxy Tab came out, it was a 7-inch tablet, and I wanted so bad for that thing to be an actual phone. If it was a phone, I would have got rid of my phone and bought the Tab. And I think in Europe it was. It had phone capabilities. Mm-hmm. I loved that form factor. I am like, I don't care how stupid that thing looks like when I hold it up to my head, like how big it is. I don't care. I just loved it. And it didn't happen, and I lost interest, and I guess I'll get normal phones. And now we're back to that point where phones are approaching 7 inches. So,
a few years now, more recently, everybody's got Bluetooth everywhere. So it's not like you're not always holding your phone up to your ear to even talk to anybody anymore, like we did back then.
Well, if you break down my phone usage, actual phone conversations is like maybe 12% of what I do or less, right? Probably half of those are over some Bluetooth device in the car or with an earpiece in. So the holding the phone up to your head thing, That is such a small percentage of my time. It's not even doesn't even factor into the conversation. For me, it's about can I slip it into a pocket comfortably. That's the thing.
Well, I'll say I might have 5 minutes of phone conversations or phone activity a week, and 90% of the time it's me not picking up the phone and hanging up on somebody.
Do you really do that?
Yes.
If somebody calls you, you just pick it up and hang up.
No, you slide it to ignore.
Yeah, I just slide to hang up, or I hit the volume down button to.
That'd be funny. If he actually answers it just so they can hear the click.
Oh yeah, see that's side buttoning somebody is one thing, but answering and hanging up on them, that's different. I side button people all the time.
Because if it's really important, they'll leave me a voicemail, and then I'll tell my wife to call them back up. But I have my wife on Boxer.
His wife to call.
So I don't, anybody else can.
I was at work one day, and my mom called, and I swiped it to the red side, and one of my coworkers said, "Did you just use the FU button on your mom?" Well, if that's what you call that, yes, I did.
It's okay, because she doesn't know. But when I side button people, the next time I see them, they go, "Why'd you side button me?" So you just have to do it to people who aren't as savvy, like moms.
No, at least she didn't. You told her about it, though, Mark, because, if you didn't, she's going to hear it now.
Right. Like, my 75-year-old mom listens to podcasts, specifically this podcast, because she's hep like that,
Yeah, I'm proud of her little boy.
No,
yeah,
she...
My mom doesn't even have the internet, so I could probably say anything and she'd never hear this.
She recently got an Android smartphone. It was whatever the prepaid carrier that she's on with got her a Blue phone, BLU. You guys familiar with those? I think they're Korean phones. Yep. It's actually a really solid phone, other than the fact that it gets up to about 900 degrees while she's using it. Otherwise, it's a great phone.
That sucks.
Does it have the Play Store on it?
Put a big aluminum fan and heatsink on the back. It's Play Store. It's a fully licensed device with Google. Nice. And it's a, it's a 5-inch phone with, I think it's a 2-core processor in it, which is probably too much for what it's doing. It's running like Gingerbread. It's an old version of Android. But it's fine for a 75-year-old grandma.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend in his 70s. He just got a smartphone a couple months back, first time. And today he was talking to me, and I just wanted to slap him. He's going to a trip to Europe, and he's saying, I don't know what I'm going to do when I get off the plane. I hate when I'm not, like, I don't have a map, and I have to go get a map. And I'm like,
can you even buy maps anymore?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, do you realize, and this is the last time I'm going to tell you this, because I've told him before, you will never have to buy a map again. Wherever you are, just turn on your phone and click Maps. And it'll tell me exactly where I am. Yes. And if you want turn-by-turn navigation to anywhere else in the world, it will do that too. Yeah.
People still say, do you know how to get to my house? No, but Google does.
Fastest way to lose respect in my book. I mean, and then they start saying, like, you're going to pass a Wendy's.
Right.
Anyway.
Or if they say, can you fax it to me?
I actually got one of those recently. So how about we talk about some apps, since that's sort of the name of the show, literally. Start with you, Mr. Geek. What have you got for us?
Oh, thank you. Oh, that one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first I want to say we are now streaming this show. It's free for anyone to watch. We're publicly doing the stream, but the chat is still going to be private to the AAA Club only. So if you want to watch the show live, anybody can do it. Hopefully soon, all you got to do is follow twitter.com/podnuts and you'll get announced when the show goes live. But if you want to partake in the chat, you have to join the newsletter and the club.
There are currently 319 people in the chat room at this moment, so it's a real rousing experience.
Yes. Yeah,
it's a special episode, though. Exactly. It's not like it's always like this. Sometimes, so.
Well, Eric, my mama told me it was special. Each one of these episodes is special, okay?
Hey, before you guys start talking about apps, I just wanted to come on and just say hi just for the 400th episode. I don't have an Android phone, so all the apps you talk about will just be completely lost on me, even though I probably would be able to.
I know mine's dual OS, but
okay.
That's fine.
I just wanted to come on and say hi, and I miss you guys, and I just wanted to let all the listeners know and say publicly that I think these guys are doing a kick-ass job. Super happy to have Mark here, and it's a great trio, so I'm proud to listen to you guys.
Thank you,
keep kicking ass, and I'll see you guys when I see you.
All right. We'll see you later.
Thank you, Steve. But if I ever start the game show up, you know you got to come out to at least a couple
definitely,
of shows.
Definitely. All right. Later, guys.
See you later.
You know, Steve said there he's a listener. I actually no longer get the joy of listening to the show. I kind of miss out on that now. It's still in my feed, right? And it comes out, and I'm like, oh, I know what that was. I was there for that. I don't have to listen to that one.
As long as you keep it in the feed, that's all.
You still
I care.
Get the download door, yeah.
Exactly. Thank you. Okay. This first app, I mistook what it was. I will say that I thought it was more of a task note taking application, but this is a application task application. So task application to task applications. It's the only way I can explain. Okay. It's called a pin tasking. Hypothetically, you start an email up and you don't want to forget to make the email, but you got to do something else. You can use this app, Pin Tasking. If you have software, home, back, and menu buttons, you can tie this into home button slide up. If you have physical home buttons, like I do on the OnePlus One, I option for that. You can pull from the drop-down menu and say, pin this. And it will take the application you're currently in and put it like on the side of your screen. Kind of like the Moto 360 watch where it's not a full circle. There's a bump taken out of it and it's like hanging on the side of your screen. You can do other things while it's sitting there waiting for you to get back to it. This is good if you get caught in the middle of doing something else and you don't want to forget about it and you want to come back to it. Because there's a physical on-screen reminder that you have this thing pending. So I definitely like this app. I definitely see a use case for this app. I'm not sure I am going to use this app because, like, I hang up on people on phone calls. I also ignore many real-world conversations, so I don't have much interruption.
That's an OCD nightmare for me to have that thing there constantly floating. I couldn't do that. I'm actually getting a little cold chills just looking at the picture on the Play Store.
It's always there when you have this app installed?
If you do not pin an app, then there's nothing sitting there. But I was hoping it was a task-based thing that you could say, okay, I have to write an email, and it saw the word email, and it would give it the email icon. That's what I thought was going on here. But it isn't. It's actually the app.
The note has this kind of built into it where you can multitask, and you basically just swipe from the corner, and it opens up a whole new window with whatever other app you want to run, and you can have them tiled up on the side like a... I never use it either, though, Dor. I guess I just don't get that busy on my phone to have multiple, you know, windows open and switch back and forth that quickly. I mean, I do use my recent apps a lot. I do that. But As far as I go, I don't need them on the screen. They're not that far away.
Gotcha. If I need a reminder, I say, okay, Google, remind me too. And I have a reminder.
I love that reminder.
I don't need something floating on my screen all the time.
I do honestly abuse the built-in reminders and notifications built into Google now.
Yes, particularly now that I have a smartwatch, not now, I mean, I've had it for months now. It's part of my everyday life. I just tilt my wrist up, say, okay, Google, say what I need to do without ever taking my phone out of my pocket. And it sounds like a silly thing, and it is a silly thing, but once you incorporate it into your life, it really is powerful in a way that you can't understand until you do it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, and I'll say, it sounds to me like you're kind of like me, as in a creature of habit. Once you figure out a physical thing to do, it's easy to repeat, thus it's hard to stop.
At some weeks, I totally forget I own a watch. Speaking of watch, we do have the episode 400 watch face out there now.
Smooth.
Everybody? No, you started the watch thing, but are we going back and forth on our apps today?
Sure. Since we've only had one app, I guess the fourth would be you. So what do you got?
Well, I didn't know if it was going straight to door again. I've got this little app. It's called Diddy, Dittty by Zaya. Diddy by Zaya. And basically what this is it's an app that will sing a song. It'll take whatever text you type in and make it into a song. And this week, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Fight Song by Rachel Platten. That's the song that it's going to sing to you now. And I typed in a little something, and it's going to process it. And I will turn up my volume so you guys can hear. I typed in a little something about the 400th episode and Android App Addicts. And then after I close out of a Hearts of Vegas ad, I don't know if you're familiar with that song or not, but it's just saying, it's show 400 Android App Addicts. She's got an odd, kind of an odd speech thing going on there, like maybe she's from Europe or something.
It's very impressive, though. It didn't sound robotic. It sounded a little weird, but not robotic.
Because it's actually singing them words to the same tones that it should be. Yeah, see, Steve should really be around here for this one, for this app. But there's a bunch of free ones, like the Hallelujah, and it'll say whatever you type in for that.
How long does it take to between the time you type in and the time and you can listen to it?
I did it right there.
Oh, wow.
Just right live, so 6 seconds for... I think it may take longer. It depends on how many characters how many words you type in there. And you do kind of... If you know the song that you're playing, you do kind of want to make the cadence of the words that you type in go with what the song might have, you know? Because it's going to take your words, and it might split it in a weird place in the middle of a sentence if you don't have it go along with the song.
Okay, well, I'll admit, I first didn't completely get what you were saying. Then I heard it, and I didn't really hear it. And then right there by the end, I actually heard what was going on. And I will say, it might sound a bit weird, but... I'm shocked at how well it sounds, but this is unbelievably like somebody trolled me, because this is what I do to my children and drive them nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime I hear them sing a song, I ask the wife, what's the song? And I listen to the song. And then like first thing in the morning, I sing to them about how they have to get up to that song that they were singing. It drives them completely nuts.
This totally destroys any argument you have about what the proper lyrics are. Because you can now play whatever lyrics you want.
yeah, bingo, Jet got a light out. But they do have a lot of songs available on here. There's quite a few for free, like Hickory Dickory Dock and Fear Elise. There's a generic dubstep one that I don't know about. But then there's a lot of pop songs.
Isn't all dubstep generic?
You can buy. Mm-hmm. I didn't say all that. But...
I like Heaven Marker.
There's 99 cents. Most of the good, like Working for the Weekend by Loverboy, that's 99 cents. Some Matchbox 20 songs, the Elvis.
You know, so did we just cost you a buck for the 400 show?
That was the free one for the week. Okay. That song. It's a fairly popular song that you might hear on the radio right now. So it's kind of nice.
What's a radio?
It's the thing that hooks into your Sirius.
It's what your podcast player plugs into.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there you go.
Gotcha.
There you go. That's yeah.
This is a good app. Then now, Eric, did we see this in the
Google Plus?
Did we get posted this in Google Plus?
Yeah. Probably Tom. I'm not sure though. Diddy by Zaya, Z-Y-A.
Yes, it was Tom Zach again.
Tom Zach.
If I had a fedora on, Tom Zach, I would tip the fedora to you, but I'm just wearing a regular hat. I tip my hat to you. You always bring very good apps.
Tom Zach is at least as much of an Android app addict or more than us, even.
It's so fascinating to me sometimes, the things that we can do. You know, I look around and I say, look what man can do. And then I look around and say, but look at what we choose to do with it.
Yeah.
Because that's really incredibly impressive that you can write a song and it sounds relatively normal and it's in tune. It's right. And in a matter of seconds, you can do that on a device in your hand. The technology to do that would make you a god in medieval times. But we choose to do the weirdest things with it. Yeah, even in the 80s. Yeah.
Yeah. Instead, we choose to argue about the Confederate flag in southern states and make apps that make non-singing sounds.
It's so funny. I've never seen more Confederate flags than recently.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, there's trucks. Built into trucks now.
Hello. It's the Streisand effect all over again.
All right, so how about we do app email? So for my contribution, I will read an email from Travis Swaim, who says, enjoy the show. I do have a request. Could you please mention permissions when reviewing apps on AAA? I went to install Peel Remote, saw the huge list of permissions, and ran. Why would a remote need to see my contacts?
Yeah, I don't look at that. I don't want to look at that. I just install them. And I figure if I've got a phone that says Google in my pocket, there's nothing I can hide. They know it all anyway. It doesn't matter. I don't know.
Well, Eric, man, you give up easily. You and your craptastic note. I don't read it, and I don't care what the permissions are because I run X privacy, and I simply just don't let apps see what they want to see. X privacy mimics what the Android M app infrastructure is going to be, which is you download an app, you install an app. The first time it wants to look at insert X here, whether it be your contacts, your internet access, your SD card, it prompts you and asks you, do you want to let this app do this? And X privacy does that, to which I say, no, click. So I don't care about flashlight apps that access the core of a nuclear reactor because on my phone, it gets blocked. So I do not look at permissions at all. And to be quite honest, there's a bit too many permissions per app to explain.
And ironically, X privacy doesn't require any special permissions to run.
Root and Expose.
Well, I mean, I just tried to install it on my phone and it said this doesn't require any special permissions, which surprises me considering what it does. You'd think it would need more.
Well, because the permissions it asks for is not even known to Google in the app ecosystem.
It's probably not going to work for me because I don't have the exposed framework.
I'll say I do believe the app will open up, but I do not believe it will properly intercept applications from accessing things.
All right. So, and also, that's just really hard to do because you can only see that when you're installing it. So we'd have to be paying attention at the time of install and writing them all down. And B, they change from time to time. So
I do have to agree with him. I mean, I don't know why a remote control app needs to know your contacts either, but I'm sure they've got their reasons.
Well, I'll say I do believe 99.999999% of the time there is some justification to where you can click share a configuration of a remote control, and it will say, do you want to share it with your contacts? You click contacts and then pick your contacts.
Like, oh, Bill's got the same TV I has. Maybe he doesn't even have to go through any setup. Here you go, Bill.
Right. So it's plausible, I'll say this, but we still don't know. We still can't say, okay, now only have access to my contacts when I hit this button.
I don't go quite that far. I do run a firewall on my phone with a default block. So an app comes up and unless I tell it can access the internet, it can't. But more and more, everything wants to reach out to the internet. So, you know, I can't run almost any games anymore with the firewall running.
Right. And if you're looking at the app in the Play Store on a full desktop browser, you can go to the bottom and click per missions view details. But it really doesn't go into depth why it's asking for access. So I don't know how much we could learn or share from doing that.
All right, so yeah. That's app email. Now it's back to you, Mr. Door-to-Door Geek. What's your next app?
Okay, this app, it reminds me a lot of the old MIT App Inventor. Okay, no, sorry. It used to be called Google App Inventor. Then it was basically given off, I believe, to MIT. Now they keep it up. It's a very GUI-centric interface to create basic applications, almost with a drag-and-drop interface. And this, to me, reminds me of that a lot. Okay, it's called Pocket Code Learn Pro Programming. This, I can just say, is a fantastic idea. You can, on your phone, this is the ultimate meta experience, in my opinion. On your phone, you can create an app that can do stuff on your phone. You can make an app that you can have an interface that can either turn on the camera, turn off the camera, turn on the gyroscope, change your volume, change your brightness, open up a web page, open up another app. So you can basically create your own interface via this app development kit, or even games if you want, kind of thing. This to me is the ultimate thing to give a child and tell them to just go hog, hog wild.
I remember the other one had like puzzle pieces or something, didn't it? The one you were talking about.
This does have a little bit of that. In the main interface, when you create case statements or if statements, you have that same jigsaw type thing where only certain pieces can fit in with certain pieces.
This is great for kids.
And my kids are into that sort of stuff. There's flash sort of game sites on the web that their school points them to, and they love doing that sort of stuff. So yeah, I could certainly see throwing that on a tablet and just saying, you know, go to town, do something. Kids like to be creative, and we might as well give them the opportunity to do that with modern tools.
And I'll say that this is by Cart Robot, CartRobat. Completely free, no in-app purchases. That, to me, is the best part of it. So you don't have to worry about it.
Cat Robat.
Okay, yeah, Cat Robat.
All right.
That's cool.
It sounds like you've got a Minnesotan accent there. Cat Robat.
Door brings all the stuff that's useful. I just bring this weird things. All right, this one's called... You guys remember... they showed what Google sees pictures. Oh man. Google image search sees things. And have you guys ever seen those pictures of what Google image search actually sees?
Yes.
And it ends up being tons of dogs.
Deep dream.
Okay. This is Dreamify. Basically, this can take a picture of you and make it look like that or a picture of anything really. I mean, it doesn't have to be just you. But this is on the screen, that's what I ended up looking like. I don't know if you'll be able to see that. It's kind of weird.
That's basically disturbing.
It is. It's very disturbing. It almost looks like the guys that were stuck in the train on Pink Floyd the Wall movie, sort of, with the masks on. Yeah, those dream things are really disturbing, and this is just a way to disturb yourself, I guess.
It looks like it's just sort of cheap Photoshop filters, you know, put on top of a selfie, but, you know. I guess whatever works.
It's kind of like it adds eyes everywhere where it doesn't, right. They didn't really need eyes.
And paisleys.
My mouth became another eye.
Well, it depends. On the Google Deep Dream engine, you can tell it to focus in on a certain thing. So it can be dog faces. You take a picture and then it will like slowly bring out dog faces everywhere you look. Or eyeballs or mouths or horse heads or paisley thingy things. All kinds of crazy stuff. This is the way Google first described it. Do you know how sometimes when you look at a cloud, you see a pirate ship? Well, what if we took that aspect of human vision and sight and put it into a computer, and then we forced it in every shape, way, or form to see something else inside of an image, and this is what pops out?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that makes it any better, but it's definitely creepy. Scary.
It is creepy. Yeah, the last screenshot in the app is kind of epic, where it shows half of a regular person just drinking a cup of Joe and then out in the forest, and then it just turns into wolves or something all over
The question that keeps coming to mind is why. I mean, I don't understand the value of this entire thing. I don't mean the app. I'm talking about the Google project. I don't understand the value of it.
They think, I'll tell you what I heard. They think it's going to be the beginning of understanding how computer artificial intelligence can work or grow to where if we can find out how, because it's really this Google Deep Dream is literally something like, I think it was 36 different layers of instruction sets going on.
But we don't have to get to artificial intelligence by way of artificial psychosis.
Well, I guess they want to understand all aspects of mental flaws.
Don't the people who wrote that app algorithm know that they wrote it for that?
Yes. Has nobody seen 2001? Am I the only one?
This is highly unusual, Eric. You usually have an eye in your mouth.
All right. So that was two apps. Now back to an email following the trend of app email. Let's start with something from Tom, it's actually, I guess I didn't get the whole email. Something about an anti-robocall contest, $25,000 prize. There's a link to it. Dory, you remember what that's about? Digitaltrends.com, robot killer app takes top prize in a $25,000 anti-robocall contest.
Yeah. What they were looking for, to me, this isn't really an Android app per se. They were looking for the ability to create a application that could be great at killing robocalls. Something that you could basically have in your house or maybe an app on your phone that would automatically kibosh anything that's not a real person calling you. And yes, I will say this robo killer says they are going to release it for Android. There's no announcement when, but I know they are in the middle of a Kickstarter campaign. Surprise, surprise. Where, of course, you know, they're looking for some money. They wanted $75,000. They're at $23,000 with 66 hours to go. So apparently people don't mind robocallers.
What's fascinating to me about this is this technology exists, but it's in the hands of the robocallers. So those systems are designed to only transfer. So there's a pool of computers making phone calls all the time. And there's a pool of people waiting to receive those phone calls, the telemarketers. And so when a human picks up, within about a half a second, the system recognizes that it's a human and transfers the call to the call center guy. So the technology's there. It's just in the hands of the bad guys. Because if it's a fax machine or an answering machine, the system can recognize that. I'm not sure how. But that they with very high accuracy, that's why people who work in call centers never talk to answering machines, because that's a waste of money. So we're turning the tables on these guys. Or you could just be like, Dorian, just don't answer the phone. And problem solved.
I think that this app would get more funding if it was for if you could install it on your home phone. That's where a lot of people's robocalls end up. I don't get nearly as much junk mail.
Eric. Normal people these days don't have a home phone. Let's just get past that. The rate of home phone adoption has dropped nearly 80% in the last, I think it was 8 or 10 years. People just aren't getting home phones.
I have a home phone, but it's an OBI connected to a Google Voice account, but it's technically my home phone.
Yeah, you can buy the Panasonic handset from Walmart and get three of them connected together with an answer. My home phone is an Ooma that costs me $4 a month for unlimited nationwide calling. It's not like it's AT&T, Bell South or something, but it's still a home phone.
Now, I think most people these days just get a device where they buy the home phones, where they come home, set their phone, their mobile phone down. It connects Bluetooth with the unit in the house, and then all their phone calls ring through the house on their
home phone. Yeah, I don't have that. I do use my home phone a lot to find my cell phone. that's probably its main use.
When I moved from Texas, I didn't transfer my number. I still have the same number I've had for 15 years. In Texas. So I got that quote unquote home phone so that I could have a local number to put on forms when I'm filling out school forms and work forms. That's the only reason I did that.
And I'll say, Mark, Of course, the best robocaller software is in those things, just like the best antivirus in the world on Windows computers is probably in some Uzbekistan virus sweatshop.
Because they don't want to get hacked.
Exactly.
All right, Dor, what's the next app you have for us tonight?
Okay, next app I'm going to completely admit, and that is I did not get a chance to fully look at this app, but the name alone made me want to bring it to the show. Okay, it's called Blink, but it's spelled B-L-Y-N-K. Blink are Arduino and Raspberry Pi. So what this apparently is, it can turn your phone into a remote control for a Arduino or a Raspberry Pi device. So I'm guessing there's something you can put on a Arduino operating system or a Raspberry Pi based operating system that can help this.
Probably have to have a Bluetooth sensor added to those boards somehow.
It's Ethernet.
From your cell phone?
From what I'm reading, you
I don't know how to plug that in.
You work over the internet just regular whatever your network connection is.
So it's network. So it's through the phone, it's Wi-Fi, and then down through the network back to the device. Huh.
Did I ever tell you guys how I got ripped off on a Arduino board thing on Indiegogo? Lost like $75 for some funding thing I did. 2 years later, I just got like an email the other day. They're like, hey, we took over that project. You can wait for your board, or you can get cash back. It'll take a while. Or right now we'll give you a gift card for the amount, and you can come to our store and buy whatever you want with that money. So I haven't taken them up on any of it yet. I was just excited to actually see I didn't get totally ripped off.
Well, I mean, I'll say Indiegogo and Kickstarter, you're not buying anything. Even if you says you're getting a reward, it's like an investment. And investments don't always investicize.
They have no obligation to actually do the thing they said they're going to do on either of those sites. They can take the money and run, and they don't have to do anything.
That's what I figured he did. I was surprised. I was glad.
Okay. Well, here's one good thing I picked up on this thing, Mark. The Blink server can be installed in minutes on your own home network. So you don't have to necessarily connect up to the Blink cloud, but hypothetically, if you use the Blink cloud, you can be in Toledo and your Raspberry Pi can be in Argentina and you can, you know, turn off lights, control the GPIO outputs and stuff like that. And I will say I was looking at a Pi hat, I believe it was called Sense Hat, where it literally had like five or six sensors on top of it. Everything from humidity, temperature, noise sensor. So you could have a Raspberry Pi sitting there for less than $60 total and monitoring your crawl space for a leak or your house for, I would say a fire, but hopefully you have better precautions already in place for that. So this might be able to tie in with that as well. So I will say the world of Arduino and Raspberry Pi is only expanding and getting more depth and breadth.
Yeah, that's cool. I didn't realize it would do both ways like that. So you could just have it coming back to your phone. That's nice.
I think. I'm pretty sure.
I'll check this out when and if I get my Arduino and Shield and all that stuff. Give it a try.
All right, Eric, do you have another app for us?
Sure. I've got this one. I played it with it just a little bit. It's pretty neat. It is called Glexter. Glexter, I like having, like a different launcher for my phone sometimes, different background stuff. This one is like a launcher for your app drawer. It changes your app drawer to a little more nicely organized way than just alphabetical. Or however, some people don't do it that way too. But it separates your apps that are installed in your phone from the ones that you've downloaded. So if you want to quickly go through them, and then you can also make another folder of ones that you consider special. I can't remember what they called that. I can pull it up real quick. They had a different name for that, for those apps. My repository. Get quick access to your favorite apps for reinstallation. You can backup APK files of your applications or just save app links by adding them to the repository via context menu on apps or downloads page.
Okay, then here's the question. When you back up the APK, where does it go?
I would I don't know. I haven't tried that.
Well, here's the reason I ask. A couple Apple executives left Apple, starting their own company up, making a quote-unquote cloud phone. Right now, my Gitpocket is not working because they're down for some kind of maintenance. And that was one of the biggest selling features of that cloud phone. Okay, me and this guy, Ted, I don't know if I can say his last name right. 2 years ago, plus, said this was what we wanted in Android. And it was really him saying it and me filling in the cracks. We wanted an app drawer on our device that would recognize apps that were not launched for X number of days. And when they were not launched for X number of days, it would uninstall the application, but keep the settings on your phone, back up the APK to the cloud, but leave the app in your drawer, but have it grayed out. And then if you needed that app, you would tap it. It would go back up to your personal cloud service, download the APK, install it, and run it seamless in one tap. That's what this other phone manufacturer is offering for their next generation cloud-centric phone. And I said to him, I really hope this comes to be a full-fledged product, because once app developers see somebody else doing this, they're going to do it themselves and maybe even do it better. So that's what it sounds like these guys are starting to do too. And I love the idea of that, just because there are people with small phones with, you know, 4 or 8 gigs of space and that's it kind of thing. And they constantly run out of space. So this is the kind of thing that could easily, seamlessly free up space on their device, but allow them to get their apps back when they
need. To me, it wasn't that exact. So while you were talking about that phone, which I recently heard about that. That sounds awesome too. I uninstalled one. I put it in the repository, uninstalled it, went to the repository, and it took me to the Google Play link. So I still have to hit install from there. Basically, it looks like it just made a copy of, I don't know. It knew exactly where it was in the Play Store. It took me straight to that app, but I just have to hit install.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I do believe this company, NextBit, you tap the app that's grayed out and it silently installs it and launches it up. But I think they can do that because they're part of the phone where this is a downloadable app. So if you don't have root, it won't let you do that. And if it had root, maybe it will do it faster without blocking you or interrupting
you. It's still a good idea. If there's something you think you might use again, like, man, that really helped me out today, that app, and no, I'm not going to use it for 6 months. Maybe I'll just throw it over there so I got it again when I do need it, so you don't forget it. Because there's so many apps I'll forget, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's right. I reset my phone or get a new phone, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I got to install the Keyring app because that's where all my rewards cards are and, you know, things like that. I do use that one a lot. But
I've gone to the store to download an app to find out that I already had it. It's like, hey, I need to go get I already have that.
There's an app for that, My Paid Apps. That's a nice one to have, too.
Yeah, and I will admit I've done that, too. But literally almost a third or up to a half at any given time of the apps on my phone are apps on my phone, and I keep them on the phone for two reasons. One, so I don't forget them, like you said, Eric, because I know I'm going to need them. I just don't need them right now. But two, I want to make sure that when I do need the apps again and I go to the store, they're not discontinued or taken down. Right. So if I have it on my phone, they can't take it down. So either this app or the NextBit phone solves that issue as well. So I am going to download this Glex store, which they need to. The first thing they need to do is they need to get a new name.
Sounds like a Disney villain.
But I'm going to download.
They do have a free and paid version. The free one, I'm not sure what I'm missing. I know there's ads, so perhaps the paid one takes away the ads. I haven't explored to see if it was worth buying yet, though.
All right, so
gotcha.
Go ahead, Dor.
I was just saying, I'm going to hammer it, and I really hope it does what I expect to do, and I will have no problem paying for it.
Yeah.
My only thing about what you were talking about, Dor, with the if you've got a crowded phone, is that when you go to get it, what app are you going to have to uninstall to put it on, because your phone is probably still full?
Well, it's better to have that choice than to sit there and think, what's the app? What's the app? What's the app? So I'll say it isn't perfect. Not at all perfect. Yeah.
So maybe
but
add in a feature there to say, you need X amount of space for this. Here's three apps that aren't in that 75-day window yet, but you haven't used in 30 days. Would you like to archive one of those?
Other than an iPod, I don't think I've ever run across all the Android phones. I've never had to make that choice where, hey, I'm so full of stuff that I can't download an app.
Well, I used to run into that all the time with my older devices and on my kids' cheap tablets. It's constant because you can slap a 64 gig card in there, but it's still only got like 1 gig of app storage space. And so if you can't copy it to the SD card, you're stuck.
I'll say on my wife's phone and on my kid's tablet, the issue I'm finding, it stops you from installing an app, but it's typically not the apps taking up the bulk of the space. It's typically apps poorly written, keeping their cache on like the main drive instead of the SD card. Or, and I found where apps have went rogue, like Google Play Music used to, and the Facebook still does, it will fill up your SD card with images and thumbnails of images. I'm rarely finding the apps themselves taking up the space, but it's the cruft around the app, which of course, uninstalling an app typically gets rid of all the files on the main partition of your Android device. Because what I do now on my kid's tablet is, if it says an app cannot be installed, I go to the SD card, I delete the Android folder completely, and then I go back and install the app, and I've never had a problem. They load that tablet up to the hilt, and it's one of those $20 tablets.
All right, so moving on to the next email we've got. This comes to us from Todd, who says, "Hey guys, just wanted to let you know about a little gem I found today called Star Horizon. It's a beautiful game with stunning graphics. I've just installed it and started playing it today, so I'm not knee-deep into it, but it's really fun. I'm not a gamer, per se, like Eric, but the controls aren't terribly frustrating for me like some flight games can be. The Play Store video is an accurate representation of gameplay, although they seem to make it look easier. I believe I paid $1.79, which is a great price, even if I don't end up mastering it. Just for a few minutes of incredible visuals, it's easily worth the price. I put it on my 7-inch LG tablet, but have yet to try it out there. I hope I have made someone happy with this find. Keep up the great shows, Todd. P.S. You still have awesome sound quality. Sans Steve C."
You have no idea how much it means, Todd, because there's no doubt every time Steve C. would listen to one of these shows, he's being nice on the air, telling me it sounds great. But I'm sure when he listens to it by himself, he's like, you know, Dor, he just doesn't have it. He'll learn sooner or later how to do it, but he still just can't do it.
Try to tell him, that guy.
I know. And I will say, I've never seen this game before Todd mentioned it. Yeah. Two words. Gorgeous is all I'm saying.
Gorgeous.
Yes. Yes. Because it's gorgeous. It is. It's really like crazy good looking. It's $243. Thankfully, my children have leftover money on their Google Play card, and I will have to acquire this on their behalf because it's something that I think they would have fun playing. And it is T for teen, but I'm pretty sure my oldest one, who is not a teenager technically, is not going to have much of a problem with this.
Man, the idea of fighting in outer space and the way things move around you as you're trying to do that, this game looks like it really gets it. Looks way too complicated for me.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like, you know, the cutscenes from Halo on a phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll say, I do believe with this year halfway done, coming to the end of this year, we are only going to see more and more and more and more and more and more space-related games because, you know, Star Wars.
Mm, true.
So just to derail the conversation a little bit, do you think that the new Star Wars movie is going to usher in a new spate of space operas and that we'll see fewer superhero epics? Because, you know, the last 5 years has been all about the superheroes. Do you think Star Wars is going to be a turning point in that?
I'm not a movie watcher, so I probably don't really have a opinion. I've seen maybe one of any of these superhero movies. I don't even know which one it was.
I'll say we don't have to worry about superhero movies. They're already dead. Even Steven Spielberg himself said every superhero movie for the last 7 years, they said, has made less and less money versus how much it costs to make since like the original newly created Spider-Man with Topher on it. He said, thank God, superhero movies discovered they're their own kryptonite. So we don't have to worry about it. Within 2 or 3 years, we're not going to see them except for the one every, you know, 6 to 5 years kind of thing. I do think Star Trek was really the first one to make space movies hip again. And I do think this Star Wars is going to basically do the same kind of thing because it's the same guy. But I think it's going to do the same kind of thing where it's going to make space movies more than they were in the past, But even though if you look at Star Trek, not a lot of the story had to do with space.
Yeah, it's just the way we are as a society. We pick a flavor, and it's a flavor for a season. You know, the rom-com was all the rage in the 90s, right? And then the giant robot movies were all over the place for a while. And of course, the horror had its run. It's always a subgenre there, but it was really popular for a while. Now is the superhero thing. And I think we're going to turn back more toward the space stuff. You know, there have always been space movies. There's always been one or two, but I think we're going to start seeing like 5, 6, 7, 8 a year, like we're seeing with the superhero movies for, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 years, and then we'll turn on to something else.
Right. And the direct quote Spielberg said was, "Hero movies are going to go the way of the Western." And we still have Westerns once in a while. It's just they're not really Westerns. It is sometimes set back in the day with a guy who happens to walk on dirt, ride a horse, and shoot a gun, but it's not really the same thing as the old Westerns. I think that's what's going to happen with their superhero movies. And my personal belief is I'd much rather have less of them if they were in general better. You know, I only want to see the best of the best of the best of the best. I don't like seeing something that's okay or pretty good. I only want to see the stuff that's really, really good. So I'm okay if there's less, as long as they're better.
All right, I have fulfilled my contract for the evening. I have successfully brought us on a tangent and taken the conversation far outside of Android apps. So mission accomplished, achievement unlocked.
right, in a galaxy far, far away.
And we're rounding up on the hour mark, so I think we'll sort of put a stop to it here. So I will ask first you, Eric, any final words of wisdom, comments, advertisements, commercials, political statements you'd like to make?
Ooh, political statements even? Dang. You're asking for it. You don't want to ask a guy like me that. No.
You got 90 seconds. Say whatever you want to say. Make it good.
Okay. Hey, thanks for being here, you guys, for our 400th episode. Thank you to all the listeners for listening and sticking with us for this long. Tell your friends. 401 is coming up soon. Tell your friends. Leave reviews on like iTunes and stuff about the show. Let people know about us. If you enjoy the show, if you think we're fun to listen to, or even if you think that you actually get some good out of this show, like we're educational maybe in a way to help you use your device a little bit. There's always a new person getting an Android phone, and they need your help, and we can help you help them.
As I always like to say, if you like the show, tell others. If you don't like it, tell us, and we can maybe fix it for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, tell us to point. You can point and laugh at us. Listen to these guys, man.
Mr. Dorr, what do you have for us? What are your final words of wisdom for the evening?
I will say we do now have a Patreon. It's not completely up and running yet, but you still can go there and participate. That's at patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts, and that is Patreon. If you want to have direct influence to the show, that's how to do it. If you want to make sure we know you're thankful for the show, that's how to do it. If you want to have direct influence on how the show can proceed, that's the way you do it. If you want to let us know about special content that you would like for us to do or have, that's how to do it. Period. True. Okay. There's no better way to get our attention than throwing money at us at the same time. And I will say, do not forget, everybody out there, elementop.com. Mark is the man. I definitely thank him. I thank him for every week coming out with Everyday Linux. And I also do thank him for coming on this show.
It's my pleasure. I will say the email well is running a bit dry. AAA@podnuts.com is the email address. If you've got an app suggestion, if you've got an app request, if you've just got some kind words or even some unkind words that you want to say, throw them out there, AAA@podnuts.com, and we will probably read it on the air. We may just read it among ourselves and ridicule your grammar, but more or less, we're likely to read it on the air. I appreciate being here with you. And as Dorr said, my home on the web is elementop.com. I do a podcast that allegedly is about Linux, and I would appreciate you checking it out. Just thanks for being with us for 400 episodes. I know I haven't been here for 400 episodes, but I appreciate the fact that many of you listeners have. So here's to 400 more. And I guess that ends this show. So we'll see you next time on Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.